Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a show that I'm really excited about today. First of all, during the first half hour, I'm going to be joined by my co-host, Dr. Jeff Galini. We're going to talk about an interesting phenomenon that was just published in a study that shows that obese people do not respond to a resistance training with a protein synthetic response similar to that of lean people. And we're going to postulate on why that may be. So that's going to be a good discussion. And then later in the show, we're going to be joined by Dr. Frank Mittleiner, and he is a professor of air quality. He's actually an air quality specialist at the great land-grant University of California, Davis. And he's going to reveal to us the real impact raising cattle is having on climate change and greenhouse gases. So that's going to be a fascinating discussion. I've got lots of questions for him later on. Of course, we have to acknowledge our title sponsor, and that is All-American Pharmaceutical and EFX Sports. Right now, you get six of their top-selling products absolutely free by going to superhumanradio.net and clicking one of the many EFX banner ads, entering your address, and paying $5 and change for shipping, because Dr. Jeff believes no one should buy anything until they've tried it first. And by the way, as you know, we now have a transcript of every single show published with the show that fast. And you can thank All American Pharmaceutical because they are our title sponsor and they make these kind of things possible. And on that note,
this is Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini.
Dr. J.
Don't take away my beef, man.
I know, right? I know. But you know what it is? And I got to be honest with this. You know, I don't think Dr. Mittleiner has a dog in the fight about beef eating. He's an air quality specialist. That's all he does. And believe me, if raising cattle destroyed air quality, he'd be the first person to say, we got to stop doing this.
Yeah. I'll be interested to listen to that one.
It's going to be good. Today's discussion between you and I is also fascinating.
Yes.
And actually, so Nick Bird over at the University of Illinois in Champaign was on my show back in 2008 when he was a doctoral student. He hadn't received his doctorate yet, and he was not a professor, talking about protein synthetic responses of different types of protein products. And he led this team there at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. And they looked at what happens to an obese person when they do resistance training. Do they see the same muscle growth that lean people do? Because we know that obese people not only have a lot of body fat, but they also have a lot of muscle, too. It was a fascinating study, wasn't it?
It was. And this is interesting. You know how, again, bodybuilders are the ones who are in tune the most with their bodies of any sport. I think you can agree with that.
Absolutely.
So years ago, when I went out to California, I was, I looked like a power lifter going out there. You know, compared to California bodybuilders, I was fat. I got to meet Samir Banute, and the first thing he said to me is, "You're too fat." I'm like, well, thank you. No, you're too fat. You're not going to build muscle with all that fat. You need to be leaner year round. And he was right. And here we go. Study.
You know, and isn't it fat? And I have to carry this dialogue a little bit further. It's true. Bodybuilders understand how to make changes to their body with the greatest results with the least amount of effort. And the reality is, it's been this way since Bernard McFadden. Nobody pays attention to bodybuilders, but then they discover the things that we've been doing for decades actually work, and they find out in studies like this. Isn't it something?
It is. And even last Sunday at the gym, a guy came up to me that I've known, and he's like, I got to ask you, how old are you? So, you know, we discuss my age, and he's like, man, you always stay in good shape.
Yeah.
I said, well, yeah, I mean, I'm a bodybuilder. You know, I don't have to compete to work on my body. You know, I mean, it's just part of what, you know, you learn as an athlete. You know, too many times, look at all these athletes of different sports when they retire. They're obese. You know, yeah. I mean, bad, you know, that, my goodness, how could you be?
And that's when they get sick, too. Athlete. Isn't it funny that the yeah. bodybuilders who continue to train seem to do well, and the bodybuilders yeah. who give it up completely and sink into normal, quote-unquote, normal life, they all develop heart problems
unhealthy.
And everything else. Yeah,
they do. Yeah. And same with, you know, all these basketball players who are overweight. But anyhow, this was a very interesting study because these were things that I knew, but I never really had any scientific proof on why having excess amounts of body fat, you had trouble building muscle, or why are you tired? You know, why can't you sleep? I mean, all the normal things that, you know, when you exercise, you feel better. So this really answered a lot of questions.
And it's so the way they designed the study was they had them do single leg resistance exercises, leg extensions. They love leg mm-hmm. extensions and the quadricep for biopsies. These individuals performed four sets of 10 to 12 repetitions with one leg, and the other leg they did nothing. And they had a group of lean people and a group of fat people. And since this is science, I'm going to say fat instead of obese.
Sure.
And so they then gave them a post-workout meal of 170 grams of lean ground pork, which was about 36 grams of high-quality protein, about 4 grams of fat. And then they collected additional muscle biopsies. So they did before and after muscle biopsies, mm-hmm. and both the inactive and the trained leg at 122 hours and 300 minutes, almost 3 hours, right? So,
right.
I'm sorry, 2 hours and almost 4 hours. And so actually it was 3 hours. And so what they found out was that the lean people saw the same and expected protein synthetic response to exercise that they had seen in previous studies and they expected, but the obese people did not. They did not see the same type of protein synthetic response after training and eating the same exact meal. And then they looked at the non-working leg and realized that the non-working leg and the working leg had the same exact protein synthetic response to exercise plus the meal, which means that exercise did nothing to stimulate mm-hmm. a greater protein synthetic response. In the lean individuals, they saw a higher protein synthetic response in the trained leg than in the non-trained leg, which is what they expected. And they said to themselves, wow, this is amazing. Fat people don't respond to protein synthetic responsive exercise.
Yeah. And the other thing that was interesting, if you saw down, at the start, they measured the insulin concentration
yes.
and found that the fat people were 3.2 times, I like how they had 3.2 times higher at the baseline, which they concluded was a whole body insulin resistance. I mean, gosh, you wonder why, you know, diabetes and all of the things that arise from being overweight. Now, you want to hear my theory, my hypothesis on this?
Please.
So I always told people that fat, it's like a sponge, you know, and I always like to equate it to a car. Look at a car battery where you get that corrosion buildup around the terminal. That represents fat. The current is still there, just like here. The protein was there, but it wasn't going to where it should be. So fat really hinders. You know, we know that fat absorbs vitamins and minerals and nutrients that should be going to the muscle, your heart, your brain, and instead it's stored in body fat.
Mm-hmm.
Again, body fat is our reserve. You know, any excess, you know, our body likes to hang on to, but fat is like a sponge. It just kind of soaks it up. So I think it was really blocking these aminos basically from getting to where they should have been going, to the muscle.
Well, we also know that insulin is highly anabolic, that bodybuilders mm-hmm. literally use insulin post-workout to get a greater protein synthetic response from the training. So think about this for a second. And I love analogies just like you. When you used, when you were a kid and you used to go to a concert and you sat up close to the speaker, the normal sound of someone talking, now you can't hear them anymore because your new reference point is that loud, loud music. Well, mm-hmm. if your body is producing such high levels of insulin, and the insulin isn't getting in anyway, we know that they're insulin resistant, then it makes perfect sense that you're not going to see the power of the post-workout meal using right. insulin to shuttle nutrients into the muscle, because your insulin is so high all the time that that little pip post-workout, not doing anything. It's not doing anything.
And we got to remember that protein comes from a variety of sources. When your body breaks it down into amino acids, it doesn't matter.
Right.
On there's no difference. It's now amino acids.
Right,
I don't care if they came from beans,
right.
pork, chicken.
Leucine from dairy and leucine from beef is just leucine, right?
It is. The trick is, you know, what else is in that source, which takes it longer for your body to break down, and some of it will get washed out. But I wanted to just again say that amino acids are the building blocks of muscle. You want to build muscle, you've got to get aminos to those muscles. And people forget, they just think of the outward, all of the internal organs, like your heart, is a muscle. You've got to feed it. You've got to fuel it. You wonder why you have so much heart disease being obese. You're not feeding your heart. You know, it has to function properly.
Well, there's another aspect to this that is relatively new on the discussion of protein synthetic response. And we did a show last year with the scientist that showed the different protein synthetic responses to resistance training based on baseline autophagy. Autophagy is the metabolic waste management, cellular waste management system. And autophagy increases during fasting or periods of not eating. It drops when you are eating. It's influenced by insulin. And so we know that in order to build muscle now, that there has to be some autophagy. There has to be some metabolic cleanup mm-hmm. after the damage before the body goes in and synthesizes new protein. And I bet you that if they looked at the levels of autophagy in obese people versus lean people, they'll find out that there's very little autophagy going on. And that could be another thing influencing the protein synthetic response post-workout.
But see, we don't want to do these kind of studies.
Right.
Right?
We don't have to.
We
already know this. Yeah.
But we don't want to, as, universities and drug companies, we don't want people to know that if you just lose weight, you know, you would be healthier. So that's why you don't see a lot of this stuff. And when you do, you know, this is the stuff that kind of gets buried, you know, and no one's going to talk about, because number one, they don't want you to know. Number two, unfortunately, most people who are overweight don't care.
Yeah.
An athlete and you have a lot of body fat and you hear this, you should run out and get yourself a stationary bike. I mean, I can't tell you how many young people I help with their bulking stage, and they just want to gain all kind of weight. And I say, no, you do cardio. Oh, no, you're going to burn muscle. No, you're not going to build muscle if you got a whole bunch of fat. And here's scientific proof that is why it's right. not happening.
You know what? I want to take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about something that someone told me 22 years ago. And I didn't take it seriously. But now I think I really did myself a great disservice. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Science for Humans. What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? you'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but six of their top sellers. That's right, six different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com.
Who ever heard of a supplement company that lets you pick the products they make and sell? What you have now, we are All American Body, a factory direct supplement brand proudly brought to you by All American Pharmaceutical. Don't pay more somewhere else. You can get the same or even better products directly from us. Now check this out. All American Body is a brand about you. Tell us what to make next so you can save big. Go ahead and request a specific ingredient. You know, arginine, citrulline, vitamin D, a product type or category, keto, greens, naturals, herbals, nootropics, and even a specific branded product or formula. We'll either copy it exactly or make it even better. And best of all, it won't cost anything close to what you've been paying, period. And if we do end up using your suggestion, you'll get the first bottle absolutely free. We'll also give you full credit on that product's description page. You'll be famous, signing autographs and people asking you to take pictures with them wherever you go. So head on over to allamericanbody.com right now. That's allamericanbody.com and make your product request today. All American Body. Crazy savings, insane results.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number one.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
Men and women, you've heard about hormone optimization. Do you feel like it's something you want to look into? RenewLifeRx.com is the place to start. Their doctors can help you with the solutions. RenewLifeRx.com has a simple process for lab work, consultation, and taking a deep dive into where your hormone levels can be improved. Superhuman Radio listeners get 30% off your initial lab work and consultation. Go to RenewLifeRx.com to schedule your no-obligation phone consultation today. Feel younger, get in better shape, and be more productive at RenewLifeRx.com.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of HM Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started HM Company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from HM Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try HM Company products. Search HM Company and use code SHR for 20% off and free shipping. That's HM Company and code SHR.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Science for Humans. We're talking about a study that was published at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign by Professor Nicholas Bird's group that shows that the response to exercise is blunted in obese people. They just don't build muscle the same way lean people do, which has got to be discouraging to a fat person who wants to change their body. But I keep thinking about something that my friend Jeff Rui said to me 22 years ago when I first started to train. He owned the Powerhouse Gym here in town. We're still friends. And back then he said to me, lose the fat first and then worry about putting on muscle. And he said it to me numerous times, but I was impatient. I can build muscle and lose fat at the same time. I probably did myself a great disservice by, and it probably took me longer in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's, I saw last night at the gym, there was a couple, when I say obese, they were obese. Now, first of all, I'm so happy they were in the gym, but I was there probably an hour and a half with cardio and weights and stuff. I saw them come in. They went right to the leg extensions. They did leg extensions. They did a couple tricep things, probably 20 minutes, and they left. And I thought, that absolutely did nothing for them. You know, they needed to be over in the cardio section, you know, getting that body fat down. So, again, you know, people get discouraged because they can't make any gains. Well, here's why. You know, again, you got to get the fat down. And there is a way to do both at the same time, but you got to be more skilled at it. So if you are overweight, start with treadmill, walk-in, get on a meal plan, get your weight, your body fat down before you go trying to build muscle, because you'll save a lot of time and you probably won't get hurt.
And the truth is, it's diet. It's 100% yep. diet here, because
yep.
Diet builds muscle. Okay, when you train and you're able mm-hmm. to build muscle, and diet is what makes you lose body fat. You know, the yep. exercise is good. The exercise is good for cardiometabolic adaptations. But the reality is, it's what you put in your mouth that's going to help you lose body fat.
Yeah, and if you are having issues with how to go about that, I got a book called Building a Lean, Mean Muscle Machine.
I was just thinking of that.
BarnesandNoble.com has it, EFXSports.com. If you don't want to pay $4.99 and you want it for free, email me. I'll send you an ebook for free. But it helps you get on the right track. You know, it shows you some different meal plans depending on if you want to gain weight, lose weight, and it gives you some cardio suggestions. So, again, it may help some of you get on the right track.
And activity is key. Being active yeah. a lot, you know what I mean? Sitting less, moving more, and diet combined. So where's the email address that you want them to send it to, if they want to?
So they can send it to Dr. J, D-R-J, at allamph.com, or go to superhumanradio.net, and you can just email directly to the show, and it'll come to me.
Yeah, okay, so two ways to get it to him through the show. When you load the page, the top left-hand corner is his beautiful face, and it says Ask the Scientist. Click that and fill out the form and tell him you want the book, or send it to onair@superhumanradio.net. That's it.
There you go.
And lose the weight first. You'll have better results. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's just amazing. And now science yeah. has proven it's something that we've known all along.
And learn how to, you know, keep your body weight in check. Don't be like a yo-yo, because that is very, very dangerous. So don't just run out now and go on a diet and then gain it all back. I mean, learn how to have a higher quality of life and to control your exercise and your eating program. Guarantee you'll live longer.
So let's talk about a couple of things. First of all, I am shocked to hear that you have not had one single gold ticket winner yet on the the giveaway with Carbolin.
They are out there. About half of them have been shipped now, and we had approximately between the two sizes 10,000 bottles, so about 5,000 of them are out there. Now, you know, they could be on store shelves. A lot of times people think, oh, you know, I'll never get one, but I'm telling you right now, I haven't had one redeemed unless somebody didn't see it, but I don't know how you can't see this big old literal gold ticket in a food-grade bag inside the bottle, so...
Yeah, really. Get out there.
So there is $5,000 still out there yet to be redeemed, unless somebody bought 2-3 bottles and they just haven't opened it yet. So
yeah, it's on their shelf. How isn't that funny? If it's on their shelf and they got $1,000 sitting there, they don't even know about.
Sitting there, and they were going to start. And of course, you can go to EFXSports.com to get a free bottle, because this giveaway is absolutely free. You don't have to buy one. That's kind of a bonus. So I've got some 333-gram ones that if you just follow the contest rules, you can grab one of those for free. And again, random golden tickets between the small and the big bottles.
Okay, and also you're going to be at the Olympia.
I will be in Las Vegas. I believe it's somewhere around September 13th, that weekend, in the EFX Sports booth. So if you are from that area, you're coming to the Mr. Olympia trade show. I'd love to come see you, shake your hand, and be an honor to take a picture with you.
That's cool. And you did stay lean all the time, huh? You didn't go into a bulk season where you just ate like an animal, right?
Early on, I did because I didn't know what I was doing. And when Samir Banu told me I was too fat, I actually went on a contest diet, not really knowing what a contest diet was, and I actually had to learn to eat more food in the off season. But I tried to keep my body fat down, especially when I got to the point where people wanted me to make appearances or guest posing, because back then people didn't promote shows a whole long time in advance. It was usually 8 to 12 weeks they were picking their guest posers. So somebody called you at 8 weeks and said, hey, can you come guest pose? And, you know, you didn't want to turn it down, so you had to be relatively close. Now, that wasn't contest shape, but it was, you know, where I was respectable to take my shirt off and to pose before people, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So you had it. So theoretically, you were always 8 weeks away from getting into contest shape if you had to.
I was. And even now, that's why I'm a big advocate for cardio. You know, we've seen some new studies showing that cardio builds better muscles than weight training and such. But again, you know, stay leaner. You know, body fat hinders you. It hinders your brain, your creativity. Obviously, it hinders putting on muscle. It hinders sleeping, and it leads to a whole lot of ailments. So it's not that difficult to keep your body fat down.
No,
and
you're right.
You can be like me. I love to eat. I'm Italian. And even though I'm gluten-free, I still eat pastas and, you know, pizzas and all that stuff. I love food, you know, and I love carbohydrates, and I eat carbohydrates. You know, that's what works for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So go see Dr. J. Do you know what booth you're at yet, or you don't know?
I don't know what the booth number is, but it's a pretty good-sized booth, so you can't miss it. The convention center is pretty big, but... You know, if you go to the show, most people, they walk around anyhow. I don't even think they got numbers, and if they do, they're so hard to see.
Yeah, you can't tell. Yeah, you can't find them anywhere, right?
Nah, so just look for the EFX Sports, and there I will be for the entire 2 days.
And tell him you listen to him on Science for Humans, and he'll take a picture with you. How about that?
Oh, gosh, man, you say that, I'll probably hook you up with something I got in the booth. I'm going to have some shaker cups and... a few little miscellaneous things I'll be giving away.
How about some autographed books? You going to bring any books with you?
You know, I'm going to bring a few, but there's not a lot of room with all the stuff going on in the booth this year where, you know, I need a table.
Yeah.
So unfortunately I'll have a few, but, not a whole lot.
Okay. All right. But definitely he'll hook you up with something. So check him out.
Yep. Absolutely.
Show him some love. All right, brother. Good discussion. And the bottom line is stay lean and build more muscle. There you go. How about that?
There you go. All right.
Take care. Talk to you next week. All right. So we're going to take one quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio later in the show. We're going to have Dr. Frank Mittlein on, and we're going to talk about the realities of, what kind of greenhouse gases raising cattle is actually producing. Vegans, hold on to your hats.
Who ever heard of a supplement company that lets you pick the products they make and sell? What you have now, we are All American Body, a factory direct supplement brand proudly brought to you by All American Pharmaceutical. Don't pay more somewhere else. You can get the same or even better products directly from us. Now check this out. All American Body is a brand about you. Tell us what to make next so you can save big. Go ahead and request a specific ingredient. You know, arginine, citrulline, vitamin D, a product type or category, keto, greens, naturals, herbals, nootropics, and even a specific branded product or formula. We'll either copy it exactly or make it even better. And best of all, it won't cost anything close to what you've been paying, period. And if we do end up using your suggestion, you'll get the first bottle absolutely free. We'll also give you full credit on that product's description page. You'll be famous, signing autographs and people asking you to take pictures with them wherever you go. So head on over to allamericanbody.com right now. That's allamericanbody.com and make your product request today. All American Body. Crazy savings, insane results.
What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? you'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but six of their top sellers. That's right, six different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com. For the past 4 months, I've been keeping a secret. Every night at bedtime, I tape my mouth shut with Somnifix strips. That's right, and here's why. Whether you snore or not, at some point in the night, almost all of us start breathing through our mouth. Since I've started using Somnifix strips, I've noticed that I sleep deeper and have seen improvements in my health, fitness, and cognitive function. That's because nose breathing activates the parasympathetic nervous system and improves nitric oxide production. And that leads to improved sleep immunity, carbon dioxide, oxygen exchange, and much more. Oh, and if you do snore, it'll help you stop snoring. Try Somnifix risk-free. Go to SOMNIFIX.com/SHR. Get a free trial pack of Somnifix strips today.
You've got your devices and apps that track your activity, workouts, sleep, and diet. You have your medical records and blood work. All this data and none of it is integrated, so you can see a true snapshot of just what progress you're making and where. Now you can securely centralize all this data and become the CEO of your health. Heads Up Health gives you powerful dashboards, charts, and tools to connect all your data into meaningful information. One seamless platform. Go to headsuphealth.com today. Use code SHR and get 20% off your subscription. That's headsuphealth.com and use code SHR.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. We have a little time to kill before Dr. or Professor Mitlaner. Dr. Mitlaner. I think it's Mitlaner. I'll ask him on the air. I'm sure I'm butchering his name. But I do have some things I want to talk about. So first of all, I leave tomorrow morning for Los Angeles. I'm flying out to L.A. to be on two podcasts in person. One of them is a YouTube show hosted by Tom Bilyeu. He was the president of Quest Nutrition and really was the at the helm of Quest Nutrition when they turned into a $500 million a year company in like 5 years. So he has been attributed with doing some amazing things with a startup, taking it from zero to 6,000 miles an hour. And he knows a little something about something. And he has a very popular podcast called Health Theory. Everybody probably knows his other show, which focuses more on success and how to obtain it. But he started a new podcast that's doing very well called Health Theory. And it is a flip of his Impact Theory show, which is the really popular one, the one he started with. Health Theory invites guests on who he feels know something about health. And he actually asked me to be on the show quite a long time ago, end of last year. But I had the foot surgery in March, and other travel engagements set up, and so I'm finally going to be on this weekend, and well, Friday. I don't know if it's a live show or then it gets edited and posted later. I'll let you know as soon as I know. If you're on my Facebook chain, I will probably message people from out there. And so I'm going to be doing that show, and hopefully I'll bring something worthwhile to the discussion. And then also, since I'm out there, Kirkland Morletti set up an opportunity for me to be on the Jason Ferrigia podcast. And so Friday I'm doing both of those shows. And then Saturday I'm just going to hang out in Los Angeles, and my son, Chase, is going to drive up from San Diego and come see me. And I'm going to be hanging out with Ron and Shannon Penna and some of the other people that I'm close with out there, flying home on Sunday. So that's what's going on starting tomorrow. So obviously there won't be a show on Thursday because I'll be on my way out to Los Angeles and I'm taping that show. You know, I'm a little nervous, to be honest with you, because Tom has had some amazing people on his Impact Theory show and on his Health Theory show as well. And a lot of them are kind of like specialists and really gurus of sorts. And I'm just this guy who does this show. I've been doing it for 13 years, granted, but I'm just the guy who does this show. And it's funny because I have some things that I want to do in my life, and the time to start doing them is soon because I'm getting older. But there's a couple obstacles that stand in my way. And one of them is the fact that everything that I think I want to do, I need some sort of doctor to do it with me. Because, well, let's face it, who's going to take me seriously, right? I know I've helped a lot of people. I know I've helped a lot of people individually. I take phone calls from people every single day who are having health problems, and I don't want to toot my own horn, but I've helped a lot of them. And this is their opinion, not mine. But if you're not a doctor, you know, who are you? You're just some guy, and why should we listen to you? So I think I'm going to pursue getting a certificate as a naturopathic doctor, not because I want to practice naturopathic medicine. Quite frankly, this may sound pompous, but I think I know all the things I need to know to do what I want to do. But the problem is that I'd have to align myself with the doctor in order to be taken seriously. And, you know, Elisa keeps telling me, why don't you just go get a degree as an ND? Because an ND can do all the things you want to do. So I'm thinking very seriously in 2009, enrolling in some sort of a online course, or if they have one here in my hometown that I can attend, I think I'm going to pursue getting an ND. And it sounds silly, right? Like I've been that rebel who's been saying all along, like, I don't need to be a doctor to know these answers, right? I just need to do the work, read the work, understand the work to do it. I don't need someone to say, oh, you're a doctor, so I should believe you. Because there are a lot of really, really, really bad doctors out there, like horrible doctors. And they hurt people every single day, but they have that those letters after their name. And so there's something magical about them, you know, like, oh, well, you're a doctor, you must know. No, just because I have those letters doesn't mean they know. Me, on the other hand, I feel like I have the answers to a lot of things, and a couple things that I really think I want to do that I know I can do well and help a lot of people. But no one's going to take me seriously unless I have some letters after my name. So I'm seriously thinking about getting the ND. If you have an opinion, message me on Facebook, post something on my Facebook wall, or send me something, your opinion on air at superhumanradio.net. If you think that it's a good idea, do you think it would enhance my profile, the gravity of my opinion, if I had the letters ND for naturopathic doctor after my name? Because, you know, I can do the work. I can get through school. And that's not the problem. And I have the time. Let's be honest. I can make the time. Let's put it that way. So that's what I'm thinking about. And actually, a phone call I got from a guy yesterday who's having some real problems with his health, and he's doing everything right. And that's the odd thing. Like, he's doing everything right. And he's like, well, why do I feel this way? Why do I have this problem? Why do I have these symptoms? And in just a few minutes on the phone, we kind of zeroed in on a couple things. And he messaged me and said, you're not going to believe this. Maybe it's placebo, and it probably is to a certain degree. He says, but, you know, I'm doing some of the things that you mentioned, and I'm starting to feel better already. And a lot of it is placebo. I'm not saying it's not. But the point being is I understand a lot of this stuff because I literally been in school for 13 years, sitting behind this microphone talking to some of the most brilliant scientists in the world has endowed me with a vast amount of knowledge. It's almost like I'm a gateway to information. It's not like I do anything. It's not like I come up with anything on my own. But somebody starts talking about something like, oh, I did an interview a couple years ago, and here's what they found out. And I guess being somebody who has all that information in one head, in one brain, there is definitely a value to it because I really am multidisciplined. It's not like I specialize in one area. I can see where areas and things overlap. I've done it on the show. You've heard me, you know, suggest things to scientists where they were like, wow, that's interesting. We should look into that. And it's because I'm not stuck in one discipline. I'm like really at the 30,000 foot view of everything. And I can see where the dots overlap and where this guy and that gal who are scientists working on individual things actually have some common ground that they could cross over into. So I am thinking about getting the ND. That's that. Also, I messaged Dr. Kenneth Brown after doing the show with Dr. Rao about lactic acidosis. And I asked him if Atrantil could help with this. And he said he's pretty sure that it can, that it could actually kill those lactic acid bacteria in the small intestine over some time. And he's doing some deeper digging to see what specifically it's doing to the lactic acid producing bacteria. And we'll do a follow-up show because I've gotten messages from people who said, thank you so much for doing that show. This makes so much sense. I've been pounding down the probiotics. I wake up with brain fog. I have all these weird symptoms, and now it's starting to make sense to me. They all started when I started taking mad amounts of probiotics. And this is me too. I got to be honest with you. I was telling people that when we came home from Alaska, my symptoms were worse, so much worse. I couldn't figure it out. Well, guess what? I took two boxes of VSL number 3 with me because I was so sure that it would protect me from getting sick in the communal space that is a cruise ship where everybody makes everybody else sick, that I was taking 900 billion CFUs a day to quote-unquote protect myself and boost my immune system, and all I did was increase the lactic acid bacteria living in my small intestine. And this is why I know that I have some of the problems I have today. Now it's a matter of killing them off. And it's a matter of killing them off without destroying other healthy microbes. In fact, I've found a antibiotic, we'll talk about it on another show. There's an antibiotic out there that does not get distributed systemically. It literally lives inside the gut and is excreted in your poop, and it doesn't go anywhere else. It only affects microbes in your stomach and in your small and large intestine. The goal is to get it to a low enough dose where it pretty much is metabolized by the time it gets to the large intestine and the colon, so it doesn't disrupt those microbes. And I'm hoping to come up with a protocol along with another physician to do that, because this could be the answer to everybody who has SIBO. They would just take this antibiotic. It wouldn't affect anything else in their body. It would only affect their stomach and their small intestine, and would be gone by the time it gets to the large intestine. So it's just going to eradicate the microbes that are in the small intestine that shouldn't be there anyway. So it's not like as though we got to be selective in what we destroy in the small intestine. No, we just got to get all the microbes out of the small intestine. So I'm very excited about that. I'm also very excited about the fact that I found some ways to mitigate the brain fog for those people who are suffering from it. I have to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk about that, because this is something you can start doing today. If you're somebody who suffers from small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, you are bloated and gassy, you have a distended stomach, and you wake up in the morning with complete brain fog, like you got to wait a couple hours to get moving because you can't think straight. You feel like there's cotton in your head. I have a way that you could actually get rid of that, like by tomorrow. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
If you suffer from abdominal bloating, relief is here. Introducing
Atrantil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrantil
works while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrantil
relieve their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrantil
is made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic, plus it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
Atrantil, Atrantil.
Atrantil. Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. Lovemytummy.com.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Men and women, you've heard about hormone optimization. Do you feel like it's something you want to look into? RenewLifeRx.com is the place to start. Their doctors can help you with the solutions. RenewLifeRx.com has a simple process for lab work, consultation, and taking a deep dive into where your hormone levels can be improved. Superhuman Radio listeners get 30% off your initial lab work and consultation. Go to RenewLifeRx.com to schedule your no-obligation phone consultation today. Feel younger, get in better shape, and be more productive at RenewLifeRx.com.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H-Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started H-Hemp Company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H-Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H-Hemp Company products. Search H-Hemp Company and use code SHR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H-Hemp Company and code SHR.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. So here's what I discovered. If you wake up with brain fog, if you are bloated and gassy, if you suspect that you have some degree of small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, whether you notice that your stomach gets poochy and bloated pretty easily. If you wake up in the morning burping and you haven't eaten anything in 8 to 12 hours? Yeah, you probably do. And so here's what I discovered works immediately. Immediately. It will change. You'll wake up in the morning and you won't feel foggy. The first thing is get yourself a good full-spectrum enzyme that includes hydrochloric acid, like betaine hydrochloride plus amylase, protease, and lipase, so that you can take that in between meals, not with your meals, in between meals. Just start out with one tablet. If a serving that you're supposed to take with a meal is one tablet, just take one tablet. So here's what you'll first notice. When you start taking, so the first thing you'll notice is that you normally burp a lot, even well after the meal is gone. And that's because there's still undigested food in your stomach, as well as the fact that there's gas coming up from the digestion-resistant fiber that is in your meal that is now being fermented in the small intestine close to the stomach, as opposed to where it's normally fermented in the large intestine close to the anus. And by taking the enzyme in between meals, will lower the pH of the stomach, but a lot of that gets into the small intestine. It actually digests a lot of the undigested food, number one, which is the same theory that taking baking soda before a meal, a half hour before a meal, works on with the autoimmune study that we did, right? Just increasing the acidity of the stomach, lowering the pH of the stomach, digesting the undigested food, and also having that acid travel down into the small intestine without the burden of food along with it, so that that acid could actually start to destroy those bacteria that have been inhabiting it, number one. So in between meals, using a full-spectrum enzyme, and not enterically coated. This is just a regular enzyme that you would take with food, but taking it in between meals and making sure that it has both betaine hydrochloride, both, all of betaine hydrochloride, amylase, lipase, and protease enzymes in it, number one. Number two, get thee to a sauna and do more cardio. Why? Because lactic acid readily comes out in sweat. There's so many good studies on this done back in the 80s and 90s that show that the body literally sweats out lactic acid through the pores. So the more you sweat, the less lactic acid that's in your body, the less lactic acid that can act on your brain and other things that it's doing. It's doing a lot of horrible things, by the way, but the brain you feel first thing in the morning. Having a good sweat late in the evening before going to bed or any time during the day. I mean, I do it post-workout, and I've been doing it for a long time now, and I can tell you that the days that I don't get in the sauna, I wake up with brain fog the next morning. The days I get in the sauna, I am lowering my lactic acid load on my body, and I wake up in the morning, and I feel so much friggin' better. And I am going to be working on actually getting in the sauna a second time, because I have a sauna at home, luckily, later in the evening, not right before bed. I don't sleep as good when I raise my body temperature that much before bed, but maybe sometime around dinner time or thereafter, just getting in for 20 or 30 minutes and breaking a good sweat. You could do the same thing by taking a walk and wrapping up in clothes, or anything that makes you sweat will immediately and acutely lower the lactic acid in your body. And the less lactic acid you have circulating, the less brain fog you'll wake up with in the morning. So those two things right there can alleviate the burden of the high lactic acid that's being produced in your small intestine, while we work on other ways to finally and forever eradicate the microbes that have been taken up inside your small intestine where they don't belong. Now, I'm going to be adding Etrantil back into the mix. I haven't been taking it lately, but I just ordered some more. I'm waiting for Dr. Kenneth Brown to get back to me on this. But I have a funny feeling that taking a Trantil between meals also. So the way they want you to take a Trantil usually is before a meal, so that when you eat the food, you don't get bloated. I have a strange feeling that if you take it in between meals, the same logic that I'm using with the enzymes takes effect, and the Trantil will go after and destroy those microbes because it's not burdened by carrying food along with it. But that one I don't have the answers to yet, so just hold on to that one. But absolutely, the enzymes in between meals, and of course, sweat, whether it's doing cardio, exercising, but absolutely, if you can get to a sauna, nothing makes you break a sweat like a sauna. You sit in a sauna for 30 minutes and you will leach out so much lactic acid that's in your body. And I predict that the more often you do it, you'll start to see that you'll start feeling better, not just waking up without brain fog, but you'll start feeling better, just overall feeling better. So give those a try and report back to me at onair@superhumanradio.net and let me know if any of those are working for you. If you are absolutely suffering from brain fog in the morning and you know that you have small intestinal bacterial overgrowth because you burp all the time, and when you eat carbs and starchy carbs and fiber make you feel horrible, they bloat you. These are all signs of SIBO. Because those fibers aren't supposed to be fermented until they get into the colon, into the large intestine. The fact that they're bloating you means that they're being fermented in the small intestine, and that's because there are microbes up there that don't belong there. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we are going to have Dr. Frank Mitlohner on, and he's going to tell us from the scientific standpoint what damage raising cattle is doing to this planet. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Men and women, you've heard about hormone optimization. Do you feel like it's something you want to look into? RenewLifeRx.com is the place to start. Their doctors can help you with the solutions. RenewLifeRx.com has a simple process for lab work, consultation, and taking a deep dive into where your hormone levels can be improved. Superhuman Radio listeners get 30% off your initial lab work and consultation. Go to RenewLifeRx.com to schedule your no-obligation phone consultation today. Feel younger, get in better shape, and be more productive at RenewLifeRx.com.
For the past 4 months, I've been keeping a secret. Every night at bedtime, I tape my mouth shut with Somnifix strips. That's right, and here's why. Whether you snore or not, at some point in the night, almost all of us start breathing through our mouth. Since I've started using Somnifix strips, I've noticed that I sleep deeper and have seen improvements in my health, fitness, and cognitive function. That's because nose breathing activates the parasympathetic nervous system and improves nitric oxide production. And that leads to improved sleep immunity, carbon dioxide, oxygen exchange, and much more. Oh, and if you do snore, it'll help you stop snoring. Try Somnifix risk-free. Go to SOMNIFIX.com/SHR. Get a free trial pack of Somnifix strips today. Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to RedconOne.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number 1.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
You've got your devices and apps that track your activity, workouts, sleep, and diet. You have your medical records and blood work. All this data and none of it is integrated, so you can see a true snapshot of just what progress you're making and where. Now you can securely centralize all this data and become the CEO of your health. Heads Up Health gives you powerful dashboards, charts, and tools to connect all your data into meaningful information. One seamless platform. Go to headsuphealth.com today. Use code SHR and get 20% off your subscription. That's headsuphealth.com and use code SHR.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating. But you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number one.com. Or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
If you eat beef, you are not a popular person today, for so many reasons. But one that keeps being echoed by every mainstream platform is that raising cows is destroying the planet. They cite the greenhouse gas footprint that surrounds raising beef cattle, from everything from the cow's flatulence right to the feeds that they feed them. We need to eradicate raising cattle. That's what we hear. And in fact, in 2003, I think it was, they started this whole Meatless Monday thing. And everybody talked about Meatless Monday and, oh, you know, you're doing the planet a favor by not eating meat on Monday. And is it really true? I mean, can't science figure out what cows are doing? We hear this all the time, but we never hear real numbers. And even when you search and look at some of the numbers, you find out that they're not substantiated with anything. They're actually fabricated. Well, Dr. Frank Mitlohner, who is an air quality specialist with the great land-grant university, University of California at Davis, is joining us today. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mitlohner.
Thank you so much.
And I have to ask you first, why did you even look at this? This is, first of all, it's a lightning rod, and number two, no matter how it shakes out, someone's going to be mad at you. You know.
Yeah, well, that's not a consideration. So people being mad at me is, you know, that's not my consideration. I'm an air quality specialist, and I'm specialized in the impact animal agriculture has on the atmospheric environment. And so what I oftentimes hear is people making claims, and in most cases I find them unsubstantiated. And so my role is to add science to these discussions.
Okay. So when did you start to look at the impact of raising cattle on air quality?
In 1997, but in 2002 as a faculty member here at UC Davis.
Okay. And so when you started to look, what statistic, what numbers were out there? What information was out there that you could look at and say, wow, you know, this is the impact cattle is having on greenhouse gases?
So this is actually a long story. It started back in 2000 and I think it was 2006 when the FAO, the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, put out a publication called Livestock's Long Shadow, in which they said that livestock globally produces 18% of all greenhouse gases. And then they added by saying, and that's more than the global transportation sector. So if you really think about what that means, it means that cows and pigs and sheep and chicken produce more greenhouse gases leading to global warming than all cars, trucks, trains, planes, ships in the world combined. I investigated that claim and found it to be untrue, and I published a peer-reviewed paper, and the authors of the FAO paper agreed with my criticism, and some of that was taken back, namely the comparison of livestock to transportation. However, the people who liked that comparison so much will not let go of it, even though the authors have withdrawn it. So if you are interested in global greenhouse gas emissions from livestock, the FAO will tell you today that globally livestock contributes to 14.5% of all greenhouse gases. Again, that's a global number. But if you're interested in more U.S.-centric numbers, then the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, will tell you all of livestock combined, pigs and cows and sheep and chicken and so on, combined will contribute to a total of 3.9% of all greenhouse gases, so less than 4%. To give you a reference number, transportation contributes to 27%, energy production and use 31%.
Wow. I mean, that's staggering. So you're saying the USDA themselves agrees that it's just 3.9% that it's contributing?
The EPA, the Environmental
Protection. I'm sorry, EPA. The EPA, I'm sorry. So this is from them, and you would think that they would be the most critical, and they only say 3.9%.
Yes. These are the official emission inventory numbers for the United States that say 3.9% of all livestock. 3.9% of all greenhouse gases come from all of livestock. And that's the official number in the emission inventory of the United States today.
Now, you published a white paper called Livestock's Contribution to Climate Change, Facts and Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And when did you publish that paper?
I want to say maybe 2 years ago.
Okay.
2 years or last year, maybe.
And the findings of that paper, if you could summarize for us, what were the findings of that paper?
Well, what I have the hardest time with is that people take this global 18% number that the FAO came up with in their official, in their original Livestock's Long Shadow number report, and they take that 18% number and the comparison of livestock to transportation to further their cause here in the United States. They tell the millennial kids that I teach in my classroom that if they choose to eat a burger, then that has a greater impact than what they drive, how they get from A to B. And that is false, and it leads us on a wrong path to solutions. Because we need solutions, because this whole issue of climate change is pressing. The main reason for human contributions to it is the use of fossil fuel, and most everybody knows that unless they don't want to. And instead, they are deflecting the criticism to anthropogenic greenhouse gases from the main culprit, which is fossil fuel, to livestock. In many cases, because that lives up to their lifestyle choices, which in many cases are vegan. And that's what I'm contesting.
And that's an important distinction right now. So what we're combating is the findings of science versus the visceral emotional reactions of a group of people who have an unexplained hatred of eating meat, whether they feel that it's it's mean to animals or whatever group that they belong to. But meanwhile, the science shows that they're wrong. So why isn't the mainstream media picking up on science? Why are they fanning the flames of these zealots who are clearly wrong and trying to have a change the way people eat forever?
Well, I mean, you're using some strong words there. Now, there are people with different motivations, okay? There's not one group with one storyline. There are many different groups. Some of them are animal welfare, some of them are animal rights groups, some of them are business people who want to further their personal business, for example, plant-based alternatives to meat. Then there are others who have ethical objections to the way we produce livestock. They all have different reasons, but they use a similar tool. They use that environmental tool, that environmental argument, and this old comparison of livestock to transportation to have people divorce themselves from the consumption of livestock products. And I think it's dishonest, and I think that people should really be made aware of it, and that's my cause. I will make people aware of it. And I will bring my message not just to people like you and your listeners, but also to the National Academies and to the FAO in Rome and to others, because I think what is at stake here is how we feed a growing global demand for protein without depleting natural resources. That's one. And how can we reduce greenhouse gas emissions leading to climate change by addressing those sources that are majorly responsible?
Yeah, and I get it, because if we're focused on this and it's not really having that kind of an impact, then we're taking our sights off of fossil fuels and other things that are having an impact. And so we're going to end up continuing to poison the planet. Now, excuse me, Johns Hopkins University, the Center for Livable Futures, responded to your paper, and they claimed that there were some things that were not addressed properly. I want to just go through these and give you an opportunity to respond to them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They claim that the livestock production in is responsible for 4.2% of U.S. greenhouse gases emissions. This calculation fails to account for several major emission sources. What sources did they claim that you failed to recognize?
Well, first of all, they had never addressed that paper, their rebuttal to me. I found it by total coincidence when I looked for something else on the internet. So I think a proper way of addressing somebody and critiquing that person and or his or her writings is by personally addressing that person, but that never happened.
Well, so, sure, because they want to derail you in the courtroom of popular appeal and opinion.
Yeah.
Popular opinion, well, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I had never seen that, but when I did see that, I thought it's not worthwhile responding, because what they seem to be strong at is the PR piece of promoting Meatless Monday and so forth.
Right.
When you go through their staffing list of people in the Center for Livable Future, you will find that they clearly have distinct strength in certain areas, and that is communication and PR and so on. What you will also find is that they are particularly weak at people in the science arena that do what I do.
Right.
And therefore, I don't want to argue with a bunch of communications people or PR and marketing people. If this is a scientific argument, I will have it. But if it's one that is just about rhetorics, then I will not have it. Now, the EPA does a assessment of all emission sources in the states, and it does it by sector. It looks at transportation contributions. It looks at electricity contribution and power production and use. It looks at agricultural contributions and so forth. And all of these different sectors of society are assessed using the same type of methodology.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if you compare, let's say, transportation to livestock using the EPA approach, then you're comparing apples to apples. What they might say is that the EPA looks at direct emissions from all these sources, but in addition to direct emissions, livestock also has indirect emissions, meaning, for example, if you grow crops to feed livestock,
yes,
then the crops also need to receive fertilizers, pesticides, and so on. And that's true, but the indirect argument can also be made for all other sectors of society. So the EPA is doing an apples-to-apples comparison, and when you do that, you will find that beef contributes, if you're interested in beef, to less than 2% of total greenhouse gases in this country. And if you try to further their argument, if you believe their argument that one day less meat a week is effective, then you take the total contribution of that livestock species you're interested in, and you reduce it by 1/7. That's one day a week. In the case of beef, let's say the EPA number were true and beef were to contribute to approximately 2% of all greenhouse gases released in the United States. And you now eat one-seventh less of that a week, which means one day or a meatless Monday. Then that would mean that you reduce the total carbon footprint if all 320 million Americans would stop eating beef one day a week. You would reduce the carbon footprint of our country by 0.3%. Now, is that nothing? It's not nothing, it's something. But most reasonable people would say it's not very much, at least not when you compare it to contributions, let's say, of our transportation sector making up 27% of one's carbon footprint.
Yeah, it's a strong argument. And also, I want to address something, and that's why I was asking this particular question. Those who take the moral high ground about beef keep saying that, we have to, all of these extrinsic contributors, like growing corn, and then they say, all the corn goes to feeding cows, and that's not true, is it?
Well, let's just look at the numbers. So, for example, Iowa is our number one corn-producing state in the country. Today, in Iowa, approximately 50% of total corn production goes into ethanol for fuel. Another 10 to 12% goes into high fructose corn syrup. And a total of 25% goes into livestock. But of the 25%, 20 go into poultry and swine feed. And 5%, and that's the total of Iowa corn production, 5% of Iowa corn goes into feedlot beef rations. 5%.
That's nothing.
So when people say, well, we grow all this corn and it all goes into beef rations, that is really misstating the facts. The vast majority of corn grown in states like Iowa or Nebraska, the main corn-growing states in the country, the vast majority of that goes into your tank as fuel and into your cereals as high-fructose corn syrup, and a small minority of 5% goes into feedlot rations. Now, that's not to say that feedlot cattle, for example, don't receive additional corn byproducts, such as distillers grains. But that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing, because without ruminant livestock being able to utilize byproducts, such as distillers grains, they would just be added to our landfills. And I don't think anybody wants that.
Right.
So without ruminant livestock, we could not make use of so many of our co-products or byproducts. Cattle particularly, ruminants in general, are upcyclers. They take inferior feedstuff, by and large non-human edible, and they convert it into high-value protein. And that makes them totally unique compared to monogastric animals or also most other food items that we consume.
I want to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, I want to address water consumption briefly, and then we'll talk more about some of these John Hopkins claims, because I want you to have an opportunity to clear this up. I have very little faith in John Hopkins University's claims here, because they have an agenda. It's a clear agenda. And when you have an agenda, you will always ignore facts and science to stick to your agenda. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of Superhuman Radio.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse Can-See Eye Drops, go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how Can-See Eye Drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but six of their top sellers. That's right, six different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com.
If you suffer from abdominal bloating, relief is here. Introducing
Atrantil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrantil
works while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrantil
relieved their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrantil
is made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic. Plus, it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
Atrantil. Atrantil.
Atrantil. Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. Lovemytummy.com.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started H Hemp Company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H Hemp Company products. Search H Hemp Company and use code SHR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H Hemp Company and code SHR.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
For the past 4 months, I've been keeping a secret. Every night at bedtime, I tape my mouth shut with Somnifix strips. That's right, and here's why. Whether you snore or not, at some point in the night, almost all of us start breathing through our mouth. Since I've started using Somnifix strips, I've noticed that I sleep deeper and have seen improvements in my health, fitness, and cognitive function. That's because nose breathing activates the parasympathetic nervous system and improves nitric oxide production, and that leads to improved sleep immunity, carbon dioxide, oxygen exchange, and much more. Oh, and if you do snore, it'll help you stop snoring. Try Somnifix risk-free. Go to somnifix.com/SHR. Get a free trial pack of Somnifix strips today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Frank Mitlohner. He is a professor at UC Davis, and his area of expertise, interestingly enough, it's not agriculture, folks. It's air quality. And that really speaks to me because he's not fighting a war about agriculture. He's fighting a war on how to save the planet. And promoting lies doesn't work because you can see right through them. One of the things that I actually wrote a blog in 2016 because I kept seeing this number thrown around. It was a number about how much water it takes to produce 1 pound of beef and why raising beef is unsustainable just from the water consumption side. And I'm not a scientist. But I just started looking around and I made a list of questions and I went to look for answers and I went to websites like Purdue's UNC, MSU, explorebeef.org and a variety of other websites to get answers. And what I came away realizing was that the number they were throwing around was a blatant lie, number one. Number two, it takes more to raise an acre of soy in water consumption than it does to raise a whole cow. But more importantly, cows drink water that we can't use for anything else. They drink streams and lake water, and you can't spray that on crops. So talk about the water consumption that people like to say is bad because we can't sustain raising cattle because of the water consumption.
So first, you stated that I'm an air quality specialist. That's true, but of course, in and around agriculture. So I'm specialized in air issues around animal agriculture. And you are right. There are many data thrown around that depict the role of livestock very negatively, particularly in and around air impacts, water impacts, greenhouse gas impacts, and so forth. There is no doubt. I have to tell you, there is no doubt that animal protein will always have a greater environmental footprint than plant protein, let's say. That's not what I'm contesting. What I am disagreeing with is that people make up data, use data that are highly misleading. For example, on the water side, those people I call the critics, they say beef consumes enormous amounts of water, and they quote numbers of that are just astronomical. And when you look into what they are really quoting, then you find out that that they are not differentiating between what source of water animals consume. So let me explain. There are different sources of water. There is blue water that's coming out of your tap. Then there is green water, and that's rainfall. And then there's gray water, that's recycled water coming from toilets and so on. And obviously, these different water sources have a very different value with respect to how much we pay for it and so forth. What those critics do is they count all water that goes into growing a pound of beef. But the rainwater that falls onto a range, and grows the crops, the pasture that the animals eat, would fall no matter what. Even if there weren't any cattle, it would still fall on that land, and the grass growing there would still grow from it. Now that we have livestock grazing there on this what we call marginal land, now that we have livestock growing on that marginal land, they consume the water through the crops that they eat, and they grow protein. Now, think about it this way. About two-thirds of all agricultural land in this country, two-thirds of all agricultural land in this country is marginal. And about less than one-third of the total agricultural land is arable land.
Right.
The marginal land, that really means you cannot grow crops on it. Only on the arable land you can grow crops. On the two-thirds of agricultural land that's marginal, you can only use that land by using it via livestock,
right.
ruminant livestock to be precise. And the reason why we can use it with ruminant livestock is because they can make use of inferior feed, such as grass, and they make protein from it. If we weren't using it for ruminant livestock, we could not use it at all to grow crops, to grow food, excuse me. Okay? So the fact that livestock can eat cellulose and make it into protein is a miracle to me, and it should be for all of us.
But also, a family can live on a whole cow for a period of time. We would end up with nutrient deficiencies if we tried to just eat soy every single day. There's it's very unfortunate that the USDA hasn't really tested to see what else is in the muscle meat of beef. We know that there's ascorbic acid in there. We know this from the Vikings and the Chinese Navy, where they raised cattle on these ships and the men ate beef and they never got scurvy. We know that there are other things invested in the beef that actually allow you to sustain life and actually thrive. You can't do that if all you ate was soy. Why do they discount Why do they just throw that information out and ignore it?
Well, I'm not the type who would only eat beef. You know, I think it's really important to have a balanced diet. Plus, it's
no,
it's
me
fun.
Too.
It's,
me too.
It's
but,
fun.
Yeah, me too.
But there are people who say we should totally divorce ourselves from consumption of animal protein. And last year, a paper came out published by Hall and White, and that paper did an interesting exercise. It compared the current omnivore diet of 320 million Americans to one in which all 320 million Americans would be vegans. So compared how our current diet versus a total vegan diet would compare with respect to environmental footprint and with respect to nutritional value of these two different diets. And what they found was very insightful. What they found was that if all 320 million Americans were to stop eating livestock, then we would reduce the carbon footprint of our country by 2.6%. That would be the total reduction of greenhouse gases without any livestock in this country. And what they also found, even more interestingly, was that if we were to stop eating animal products altogether, we would not be able to produce the nutrients, the essential nutrients that we require as a nation. We would not be able to maintain a food supply for our nation without the use of animal agriculture. Now, again, that was White and Hall, and the paper was in the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. It doesn't get any more prestigious than that.
But they ignore it anyway. What would you say to this claim from John Hopkins that you focus on the greenhouse gas emissions and discuss resources use without acknowledging the other ecological and public health impacts of industrial animal agriculture? But this is about greenhouse gases. That I don't understand why they even threw that in there. All you're talking about is greenhouse gases. Why would you bother commenting about these other extraneous impacts?
Well, I don't really understand that comment. I have to tell you, if you ask me about the carbon footprint of animal agriculture, then I answer along those lines. And if you want to discuss animal welfare, then I will talk to you about that. If you are interested in the impact of animal agriculture on worker health and safety, that's a separate discussion. All of them deal with sustainability, as does food safety, as does financial viability, and so on. Okay, so we have to be very clear and specific about what it is that we are discussing, and whatever it might be in the realm of sustainability, I think I'm very comfortable of addressing it. But the particular discussion around carbon footprint is one that's complex enough, and if you want to muddy the waters with other topics, well, then let's do it sequentially and not at the same time.
Right. You can address all of those. You weren't addressing that in that paper that they were critiquing, but yet they throw that in there because it's a diversionary tactic to try to get people to go, oh, well, yeah, he didn't do that either. But that wasn't what the discussion was about to begin with, so it doesn't matter.
You know, there's no question. Animal agriculture, like any sector of society, has various impacts. Okay, there's just that's clear. But if you want to address them fairly, then you should do it step by step and not muddy the waters. And some people just like to do that. And I think, in my opinion, animal agriculture has progressed in unbelievable ways over the last 50, 60 years. We have come along so much, not just on the environmental front, but also with respect to animal welfare, with respect to food safety, with respect to all sustainability issues. That's not to say that we don't have construction sites, okay, that everything is perfect. It's not perfect. But we have made huge progress. And I am a firm believer that those people who just trash agriculture for everything agriculture does is hurting the hands that feed us. We are so dependent on a workable agricultural industry in this country. These are the people that feed us, and it's fewer than 2 million total people. And 80% of those 2 million people do it on the side. So how about, instead of trashing those folks, work with them and help improve and modify those parts of our food supply chain that require some adjustment and maybe some improvements, but let's not throw the baby out with the bathtub.
Yeah, and you're being sensible. But when people are emotionally triggered, they're not sensible at all. And that's part of what we're fighting against here with logic. What about the there's been a – I did a show 5 years ago with a group that was sending cattle to third world countries. Instead of sending cornmeal, sending cattle so that people could raise cows and use them as a source of protein, but also there are working animals too, bison that can pull wagons and stuff. The research they did showed that not only did the families that were given cattle and taught to raise them become healthier, but they elevated in economic levels because they were able to use their animals to pull tree stumps and things like that. They were actually able to make a living. When we look at children on the evening TV shows begging for our 35 cents a day to feed them cornmeal, they all have distended stomachs. That distension is from lack of protein. Why are we not being honest that these people need to learn about animal husbandry and not being given a bag of powdered cornmeal?
Yeah, well, globally there are over a billion people working with animal agriculture, over a billion. And livestock is extremely important throughout the world still today. The biggest challenge with respect to the global livestock sector is that in most parts of the world, livestock is very inefficient, okay? Our country is not one of those areas. But in many developing countries, livestock is very inefficient. I'll give you an example. Cattle here in the United States, while most of them are corn-finished, they spend about two-thirds of their lives on pasture. The last 4 months, they are in a feedlot being fed a high-concentrate diet, but the vast majority, they are on pasture, they are upcycling cellulose into protein. The last 4 months, as I said, in a feedlot. When they are around 14, 15, 16 months of age, they go to slaughter. Their peers in European countries go to slaughter when they are 3 years, 4 years, sometimes 5 years of age. Their peers in African countries, they go to slaughter when they fall over of old age. They are not kept. They're not kept in order to achieve a maximum amount of protein in a minimum amount of time. We have achieved incredible efficiencies in this country. Another example, we have 9 million dairy cows in the United States today.
Bingo.
9 million. We have 9.5 million horses. We have more horses in this country than dairy cows. And we came down from 25 million. So we went from 25 million to now 9 million over the last 60 years. But we are producing 60% more milk with this much smaller herd. Now we are a model for the world. Stop trashing that model. This is the only way, in my opinion, the way of advancing efficiencies in animal agriculture is the only way that we'll be able to satisfy a drastically growing demand for animal protein worldwide in the years to come. There is no alternative to it.
I was going to ask you about dairy cows. Those who are shooting for, elimination of raising animals for food, where do they stand on milking animals? Are we going to see that the next wave being, hey, we need to do away with milk too? Because we have soy milk now, right? So we don't need real milk.
Well, I don't think that's soy lactate, so I would not call it soy milk.
I would call
it soy juice. But yeah. Now, soy juice is actually something that can be a good nutritional alternative. Okay, particularly if it's fortified, but it does not have the same property as dairy milk. The other milk alternatives certainly don't have even similar nutritional profiles as dairy milk does. But back to your question, do you think that they are anti-dairy? Absolutely, they are anti-dairy. It's not just about meat. It's about meat, milk, it's about eggs, it's about anything from agriculture that, from animal agriculture that these people are refuting. Now, keep one thing in mind, though. We keep talking about these people with these outlandish claims and propositions and so on. Keep in mind the vast majority of people in this country, the vast majority, 95% eat meat, 95% eat milk, meat. There's only 1% that is within the vegan community that refutes the use of any kind of animal protein. 1%. But they are so loud. They make so much noise.
Right.
They keep tooting about this being a major movement, which it's not. The more we talk about this being a major movement, the more we speak them up and talk them up, when indeed they are a tiny little minority, a fringe that makes themselves look really big by being very verbal, very
vocal.
Outspoken.
Vocal, right.
And the others are all too often, all too quiet. The people that produce our food, unfortunately, the farmers who know the most about how we grow our food, unfortunately are all too often not part of the conversation because they say we are private people, we are conservative, we don't want to be in the limelight. And I understand that on the one hand, but if they don't speak up, then others will. And the PETAs and HSUS and those folks, they will speak up.
Have you ever seen the movie Idiocracy, Dr. McMillan?
No. Okay. No, I have not.
I recommend that you rent it this weekend and watch it, because what we are seeing in our population has prolifically been proposed in a dark comedy called Idiocracy. And when you watch it, you'll realize how accurate that comedy is. We're going to take our last commercial break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it. Men and women, you've heard about hormone optimization. Do you feel like it's something you want to look into? RenewLifeRx.com is the place to start. Their doctors can help you with the solutions. RenewLifeRx.com has a simple process for lab work, consultation, and taking a deep dive into where your hormone levels can be improved. Superhuman Radio listeners get 30% off your initial lab work and consultation. Go to RenewLifeRx.com to schedule your no-obligation phone consultation today. Feel younger, get in better shape, and be more productive at RenewLifeRx.com. You've got your devices and apps that track your activity, workouts, sleep, and diet. You have your medical records and blood work. All this data and none of it is integrated, so you can see a true snapshot of just what progress you're making and where. Now you can securely centralize all this data and become the CEO of your health. Heads Up Health gives you powerful dashboards, charts, and tools to connect all your data into meaningful information. One seamless platform. Go to headsuphealth.com today. Use code SHR and get 20% off your subscription. That's headsuphealth.com and use code SHR.
What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but 6 of their top sellers. That's right, 6 different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again,
That's EFXSports.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We are animal protein lovers here because we're not silly. So, Dr. Mitlohner, what should we be doing? How do we combat the vocal minority and the media and their misinformation and the zealots? What do we do?
So, in my opinion, we are in a situation where many folks think that one needs to refute and rebut all the stuff that one hears day to day. I don't think that's true. If you look at the entire population of this country, you'll find that 95% make their food buying decisions based on price, nutrition, taste, and brand. 4% make their buying decisions based on organic and local and so on, and 1% are the extremists. Okay, these are those radicals that want us to disband an animal protein, and they want meat tax, and they want propositions outlawing practices and so forth. That's 1%. That's 1%, and that's what I call the fringe. And this fringe is what we spend all of our effort and time on. And we are wasting it because we will never convince them that their ways are wrong, that they are not science-based. Why try it?
Yeah,
You're right. I'm not wasting my time with that 1%. I am here to inform the 99% of people who care how food is produced, to produce it in the most sustainable way, in the way that's most nutritious, safe, and environmentally benign as much as possible. And where that's not the case, where we can improve, my goal is to help further improve it. And those people who want to trash agriculture are, in my opinion, not helping in any way, shape, or form. So I don't think we should waste our time on the 1%. We should invest it on the 95%. And I think farmers are a very important part of that goal of educating the public to a point where they understand better where their food comes from and how it's produced and why it's produced in a responsible manner.
And I'm going to have a pound of beef with broccoli today for lunch after the show. So that's what I'm doing to help further the cause. How about that? What could feedlots do differently? When you look at what the way feedlots work, everybody, you know, hates feedlots. They are the demons of the food industry. Animal welfareists hate them. Everybody hates them. What could feedlots do differently that they're not doing now to improve the quality of the product, but more importantly, to help lower the waste and impact on the environment?
You know, I don't support the notion everybody hates feedlots. In fact, I think most people actually are happy that we have feedlots. And let me explain to you why. If you ask the majority of consumers whether they prefer a corn-finished or a grass-finished beef, steak, let's say, then you will find that the vast majority do favor the corn-finished beef. They have become accustomed to it. It has a different taste. It has different fat consistency, one that carries a certain taste that people favor. By and large, there are some people who say, no, I much prefer the other one, the grass-finished beef. But I would not I would not support the notion that people hate feedlots. What the 1% of the people that we just talked about, what they are doing really effectively is they're taking photos of beef cattle standing at the feed trough eating, and then it looks like it's a very cramped environment. I have worked in feedlots for many years, and I can tell you the average space allowance per steer or heifer in a feedlot is between 130 to 150 square feet. And that's not a little bit of space. That's quite a bit space.
Right. Right.
And some people have tried to reduce that because it is a lot of space. And they have found that if the space is being reduced, then performance goes down. So the space is pretty consistent. They are not crammed. They actually have quite a bit of space. Now, they have a PhD nutritionist who formulates their diet. They have a veterinarian who checks them. They have pen riders who make sure that if any animal needs help, that it's taken to the hospital and treated. And most importantly, the system of feedlots allows us to cut at least 1 year of lifetime out of these animals' lives, and that reduces the environmental footprint of these animals drastically.
Mm-hmm.
People think animals on pasture are always greener, are better for the environment, but they live about twice as long. And they ingest a diet that produces more methane than that diet of feedlot cattle. So I am not within the camp of people you're quoting. And I think that it's the extremists who try to paint that picture of feedlots being so negative. I don't think it is negative.
That's an interesting perspective. I personally have a farmer that I do business with for beef and chicken and pork and now lamb. And I do prefer, just for me, grass-finished beef, and it's becoming more popular. But that's the beauty of our country. If you are willing to spend money on it, they'll produce it for you. And mm-hmm. if you don't want corn finished, you can get grass finished in restaurants now and so on. So, but the one thing that I do like about dealing with my farmer is that the cows, and I buy milk from one farmer also. Since I own a share of a cow, mm-hmm. I can buy unpasteurized milk. I think the cows are treated nicer. That's all I can say.
Well, you know, I personally, I understand why it's fun to buy food from a farmer, because being with a farmer, talking to a farmer is fun, getting some insights and so on. I like that too. But I don't ever anthropomorphize around livestock, okay? They are not my pet. They are not a family member. They are an animal that I will eat sooner or later. And so to me, it's important that whoever raises that animal treats that animal with respect. And most of the farmers, ranchers, feedlot owners that I've met in my life do that. They are outliers. They are outliers. There are people who don't do that, and they need to get the heck out of business.
Right.
I don't want to see anybody mistreating animals staying in business. I think animal agriculture needs to self-police and get those people who don't treat animals right out of business. But whether you have a grass-finished animal or a corn-finished animal, in my opinion, has little to do with whether animals are treated humanely or so. You can have animals that are pasture-raised that are more stressed than feedlot-raised because, for example, if the feed base is not sufficient, if there's not enough pasture, or if there's not enough drinking water, or if there are parasites, or if there are predators, then the welfare of grass-finished animals can also be impeded. So you have to be careful and really look into the specific situation and not have blanket statements of, you know, grass-finished is always better for the welfare and corn-finished is not. I don't think that's true.
I appreciate that. That's really, really, really good to hear. I want to thank you for taking time to come on the show, but more importantly, I want to thank you for championing this cause. And I hope that people will pass around this show to everybody who will listen to it, because, you know, I understand that we can't worry about fighting the 1%. I get that. But at the same time, people need to understand that they shouldn't feel guilt for having a steak.
They shouldn't feel guilt for having a piece of chicken or eating eggs or drinking milk. And it's silly. You know, we evolved consuming animal protein. It's an important part of our evolutionary journey. And it's not something we can just cast aside and give up. The population will suffer nutritionally, nutritional deficiencies. It's just silly. And so I want to thank you so much for what you do.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me on the show.
Take care. We're going to say goodbye. Now, I am heading to Los Angeles tomorrow, so I'll be off the air until Tuesday because Monday's a holiday. But I will keep everybody posted on my travels in Los Angeles and when the show that I tape with Tom Bilyeu is going to actually air. And thank you for listening to today's show. Please pass it around. It's an important topic. I really do think that a lot of people feel guilty, and those who choose to have the Meatless Monday thing think they're really actually having an impact on the planet, and they're not. They should hear this too. All right, we'll see you Tuesday. Have a safe and wonderful holiday weekend.